So we are in week number 3 of our series we called James. For obvious reasons, we're in the book of James. So if you brought your Bible with you today, you can go ahead and open it up to James chapter 3. We'll be there mostly today, although we will go back and forth between Proverbs some today as well. there's the water. So James, as I read more and more into James, it becomes a lot more like the wisdom literature that you find in the Old Testament. There's a lot of things that are said in Proverbs that you hear echoed all throughout James. And so the more I get into it, the more I recognize that. So how many of you have, in preparation, read James chapter 3? A few of you? Yeah, so you know what we're talking about today. It's the power of our words, right? Yeah, so I know, Laura. This is going to step on my feet, I promise you, just as much as it is yours today. So one of my favorite pastimes at the university is sometimes I'll go into the cafeteria and I'll watch students. And one of my favorite things that university students do is it's very obviously the first time they've left mom and dad's house. They're on their own for the very first time. And it's obvious that their parents didn't let them cuss when they were kids. Because these kids, they don't know how to use cuss words properly yet. And they insert cuss words into, like, every other word. And I'm like, I don't even know what your sentence was because you littered it with so many curse words, right? I've even seen students, they'll take apart a word, a normal word, and they'll insert a cuss word in the middle of the word. And so it's the something-something with the cuss word and then another something. And it's like a cuss word sandwich or something. But I love it so much because it's kind of ironic to me because, you know, they're using this foul language. They're talking to one another. I don't know if any of them actually know what they're saying, but they're using all this foul language. But it's funny to me because it almost defeats the purpose of the cuss word, right? Because why do you use cuss words? For shock and awe, right? Like if I were to say something from the stage, it would shock you, right? There would be a shock. There would be a gasp in the room. I'm not going to today. But yeah, sorry, Jared. But it loses its shock value when you use it all the time. And so those cuss words just become words, right? They're no longer cuss words because they're using them all the time. But today we're not here to talk about this kind of language. Well, kind of. There really isn't anything inherently wrong with the words themselves. It's about how we use them and their intent. And so I know a lot of Christians that they cuss others daily, but they've never uttered a cuss word out of their mouth. So I'm not condoning cussing, just so you know, today. I don't think it really has a place in our vocabulary as Christians. But once again, it's not about the words itself. It's about the intent behind those words. So how many of your parents use this phrase at some point? If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. How many of you use our parents? Yep. Okay, all of us, right? Do you know where this quote comes from? You know, did you cheat? Did any of the rest of you realize that it came from the 1942 movie Bambi? Yeah, it's called the Thumper Rule. Play the clip. Yeah, so that's called the Thumper Rule. I had no idea that this thing existed. But it says that, you know, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And I couldn't believe it came from that. In fact, for a large majority of my life, I thought it was like in Scripture. I thought it was like a Bible verse, right? Just to be honest with you, I'm like, and I'm using it one day, and some people are like, that's not in the Bible. Like, that's not a Bible verse. I'm like, it's Matthew 1:1. I don't know. I'm making it up. Yeah, 1 Matthew. Yeah. But in Ephesians 4:29, it's real close. It's real close, y'all. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Real close, right? Like, yeah, I'm like, okay, that's good enough. We can interpret it in my way, right? But don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Don't say anything that's not going to be helpful for building up somebody according to their needs so that those who listen benefit from it. So why are words so important? Our words, the words that we use every day, they begin to plant seeds in everyone around us. And people tend to become like what we pour into them. And Ephesians clearly says here, if it's not helpful for building others up, just don't say it. But the series isn't called Ephesians. The series is called James. And so let's talk about James chapter 3. James chapter 3 is the most concentrated literature written in Scripture that talks about how we speak to others. So starting in James chapter 3, verse 1. Says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you all know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouth of a horse to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the body parts. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course for one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. So we start strong in the paint, right, with this one. Talking about our tongues and the way that even though our tongue is a very small part of our body, it is a very, very important piece of our body that it can bring cursing or blessing into someone's life. I love how just direct James is when he speaks, and I'm pretty sure that's why this is one of Carrie's favorite books of the Bible, because she's pretty direct when she speaks too, so yes. James starts with teachers, and he's talking about not many of you should become teachers, but in reality, we're all teachers to something or someone. Like, if you have children, you're teaching your children, right? If you are in a workplace and you manage people, you're teaching somebody. And so it's really not fair to say not many of you should become teachers, because everyone's following our example in some form or fashion. In fact, in Matthew 12, 36 and 37, it says, but I tell you, everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. So it doesn't matter if you're teaching or not. Your words matter. They matter. And then James goes on to say that that a small bit, everyone knows what a bit is, that you put in the horse's mouth, and then you have the reins, and that controls wherever you turn that horse's head is where the horse is going to go, right? That a small bit controls a whole animal, and a small rudder steers a ship in the same way the tongue works in the same way. It's a small member of our body, but it has powerful implications on how people feel about us. Your words can change someone's feelings about you like that, can't they? You say the one wrong thing, and all of a sudden, I don't like that Matt guy. He said blah, 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 right? It also says that one spark can set an entire forest on fire. So I want you to ask yourself, did your words this week build something up or burn something down? It's amazing how small this body part is, and yet it can control our lives, but it also can control others' lives as well. James 3, 7, so continuing on, James 3, 7 through 10. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise the Lord our Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. I find it really interesting the way that he compares taming animals, domesticating animals, and yet says that we don't have the ability on our own to tame our own tongues, right? We don't have the willpower alone to tame what we say, the speech that comes out of our mouth. The same mouth that praises God on Sunday can tear someone down that was made in God's image on Monday. But James says that the problem is not just our words, that the problem runs much deeper than just our words. James 3:11 through 12 says, "Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." It's not just our words that are the problem. The words are just a symptom of what our heart is telling us to say. The way I look at it is that the tongue is like a thermometer, and our heart is the thermostat. So if I were to go over there right now, because I'm kind of warm, and I wanted to turn down the air conditioning and get more air on the stage, right? I wouldn't go to the thermostat on the wall and just look at the thermostat and hope that the air conditioning would turn down, would I? No. The thermostat over there is just reading the temperature. It says it's 72 in here, which means that I probably don't need to turn it down because it's fine, right? So I can see what the temperature is because I can see the thermostat over there. But the air conditioning, I would need to actually manually go in and change the thermostat if I wanted to change something about the thermometer, right? So the tongue's not the problem per se. The tongue is just a symptom of the problem. The problem is in our hearts. It tells you what's in our hearts. It's telling you what's coming out of our hearts. We can see this in Matthew when Jesus is talking to one of the Pharisees in Matthew 12:34. I love this line. "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what is the heart is full of." The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The way that you talk to your family, about your friends and others, all of this is an indication of what's truly inside of you, what's in your heart. Why is it that we tend to hurt those that are closest to us? Seems like more often than not, when we're hurting someone's feelings, it's somebody that we love or somebody that we're close to or somebody that we're friends with. Why is that? Huh? Yeah, you know exactly how to do it, don't you? And you know they got to come back. Yep. I think it's because when we're out and about and we're in public or we're at work, we know better. We know that we have to guard our tongue, don't we? We know that we have to say the right thing. We know that we have to do the right thing. But when we get home, right, it's like, I'm going to be myself. I'm going to be me. And if you have a problem with that, so be it, right? And so we get comfortable at home, and then all of a sudden, what's in our heart starts to come out through our mouths, and we begin to hurt our family members, our friends, our kids. It's because we guard our speech all day long, and we shove it all down, and we are trying to be something that we're not. Because the tongue isn't the problem again. It's what's in our hearts. The problem with that is sometimes what's in our heart isn't good, and become jerks to our friends and our family members. You can't clean up your speech by working on your speech. The change has to come from the inside out. James 3:13 through 18. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done and the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitterness, envy, and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, and then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. God's wisdom changes what comes out of our mouths. Worldly wisdom, what does it produce? It produces bitterness, disorder, and division. And you can hear it in the way people talk all the time, right? But there's good news. Even if your heart isn't in the right place, you can still fool people. You can fool them, right? We do it all the time. Like, if you don't have wisdom in your heart, if you don't have God in your heart, you can still fool people, and I'm going to tell you how. Proverbs 17, 27 through 28. My dad used to read this scripture a lot to me when I was a kid. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent and discerning if they hold their tongues. You want people to think you're smart and that you're wise? Shut your mouth, right? This has been good advice for me personally. A lot of you think that I'm wise, but actually I just shut my mouth all the time. Just don't say a whole lot. And you guys are like, oh man, he's so smart and wise and just awesome. And I'm just like, it's awesome. But understanding that godly wisdom produces peace and righteousness, and the way that you know that you are full of godly wisdom is through your speech. You begin to notice it. Like, if you grew up a Christian and a kid, as a kid, some of you may not have noticed like the drastic change, but if you've ever hung out with somebody that was a recent convert to Christianity, like, you can hear it in their speech, can't you? Like, you can tell the difference between like the old person and the new person. You can tell the difference in that they're full of godly wisdom and that they're gaining godly wisdom and the person that they used to be a long time ago. Does anyone remember from our wisdom literature series in Proverbs, what is wisdom compared to, or what is it representative as? Does anybody remember? It's a character. Lady Wisdom. Yeah, Lady Wisdom. So Lady Wisdom is found in Proverbs 1 and 8. And wisdom, Lady Wisdom is depicted as an honorable woman who calls out in public squares, city gates, in high places to offer guidance in life. She offers treasures greater than gold and protects those who follow her and was present with God at the creation of the world. She invites the naive and unlearned and abandoned and foolish to dine at her banquet table, and she's feeding them meat and wine. Okay? It's important. But there's an antagonist to this story too. So if you read in Proverbs chapter 9, you find Lady Folly. And Lady Folly is loud, she's seductive, she's ignorant, she's the opposite of Lady Wisdom. And she also sits at the door of her house, calling out those who are passing by to come in and dine with her, and she's feeding people stolen water and secret bread. Stolen water and secret bread. While Lady Wisdom leads to life, Lady Folly ends up in the depths of the grave. So there's this clear distinction of two choices that we have in Proverbs. You can follow Lady Wisdom, who's going to feed you meat and wine, or you can follow Lady Folly, who's going to feed you stolen water and secret bread. Which are you going to choose? Come on, I'm having steak dinner. I don't know about y'all, right? I'm having the steak dinner. I'm going to go with Lady Wisdom. But it sounds familiar, doesn't it? Two choices? Life and death? Trees, anybody? Interesting. Okay. Yep. So we're left with these two choices, trees. And if you read through these verses in Proverbs, what I find interesting is that both women are inviting you in to dine with them. But one is teaching you wisdom. She's feeding you wisdom. She's feeding you knowledge of who God is, who God represents. She's teaching you how to live a better life. And what's interesting is the place that you're dining has seven pillars. And I'm going to get real nerdy, and I'm not going to go, this is like a new message series that I'm thinking up. But there's seven pillars. And if you look back in James, the 13 through 18, things that they talk about being wise, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, all that good fruit stuff, you know? Like, that's the seven pillars that she's dining underneath. Anyways, we're going to get into that another time because this is way too much for today. But you're dining with Lady Wisdom. There's seven pillars. There's all this wisdom. There's all this knowledge that you can learn from. And so she's inviting the foolish to come and join her so that she can teach other people how to live a wise and good life. While Lady Folly is seducing you, trying to tempt you in to come to dine with her, but she doesn't want to teach you anything. She wants you to stay the same with her secret bread, right? I'm just going to go ahead and say Lady Wisdom wins the day. So why does this matter? Why is any of this important when we're talking about the mouth? Proverbs 9:6 says, to leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. God wants you to leave your foolish ways behind. He wants you to leave your simple life behind, and he wants you to grow. He wants you to learn. He wants to give you insight. He wants you to just go crazy trying to find these connections in Scripture and follow the pathways and learn the ways of God, because that's what he desires for us, so that we can be wise. Because when you begin to talk, all of a sudden you have things that you can talk about in Scripture, right? You're like remembering these things, and you're like, you're getting together with your friends, and you're like, ooh, guess what I read the other day? Oh, guess what song I heard on the radio the other day? It was so good. All of a sudden, your speech, the what you're interested in, the way that you're living your life, all of these things begin to change. And it almost, it's like over time, you just don't even think about those things that you used to think about anymore. Your mind completely shifts out of that old way of living. A few years ago, I started doing something, and it's worked out really nice for me. But I've tried my best to not say anything bad about people in general. And I mean everyone. Now, I'll still speak truth about people. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to speak truth about people. But like I tried to silence the negative talk. And when I hear people, I'm not going to mention what office it is, but at work, I'll go into the office sometimes, and they'll be like gossiping about people. I immediately like just do a U-turn and walk out of the room. And it drives them crazy, like, you know, because they're like, why do you keep leaving? And I'm like, because you're trash-talking people, and I don't want to be a part of it. And they're like, oh, okay. But I actually had someone tell me once, they said, Matt, I wish you would just say something negative about this person so I could feel better about myself. Like, I wish you would say something bad about them, because I feel bad about talking bad about them. But I'm just like, no, of course I'm not going to do that. Yeah, they're terrible. They're such a bad person. No. But the thing is why would you want to talk negative about somebody? Because the issue is, I mean, if you're face-to-face with them, yeah, speak truth into that person's life. Go for it. But if it's just in general, what's the point? It's not going to change who they are. It's not going to change their personality. It's not going to improve that person's life. It means nothing. It's just trash talk, right? And when you begin to stop talking negative about that person, guess what happens? You can stand them a little more from time to time, right? Because you're not always thinking about them. You're not always talking about them. They're not always on your mind. So why would I do that? What would I gain from not talking negative about people? Well, on multiple occasions, here's what's funny about that office. On multiple occasions now, I've had someone from that office come into my office, sit down in the chair and ask my advice about something, ask for wise counsel. Why would they come to me? Because they know I'm not going to trash talk them behind their backs, right? I can keep their secret, and they know me, and they trust me enough to come into my office and sit down and know that I'm going to say something nice about them or help them through their situation, and that I'm not going to go behind their back and go back to their office and say, can you believe what this person said, right? This type of language is attractive to others because it's such a different way of living. And people are attracted to that. When you are able to figure that out, when you are able to find a way to talk positive about people, people begin to want to be around you. Like, they want to hang out with you. They want to be your friend. They want to talk to you. They want to have wise counsel. So building off of what Carrie taught us last week, she said, they'll know we are Christians by our... It was 1 week. They'll know we are Christians by our love. And how do they know that we love them? Through the way that we act and the way that we speak towards them. No one is going to believe that your God exists if you're always using hate speech. Proverbs 18, 20 through 21. From the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So is your fruit of your tongue that's filling you full of joy and happiness and love? Or is the fruit that you're consuming, it's in your mouth, is it bitter and rotten? And when your stomach gets full, guess what happens? Uh-oh. Your tummy gets angry, doesn't it? When Christ lives at the core of who you are, he changes you from the inside out. And your words begin to change too. This isn't about just cleaning up your language. It's about letting God change your heart and the way that you see the people in the world that are around you. So I've got a couple of questions for you. I've got a couple of challenges for you today that I'm going to pray over us. But here's the challenge. I want you to think about this week, every person that you talk to, I want you to think about what kind of seed you planted in that person. The words that come out of your mouth, what you say to them, what is the seeds that are being planted in them? Is it like weeds? Are you planting weeds, right? We grew some greens in the yard. And yesterday I was walking by and I was like, ooh, yeah, that looks really good. And so I took one and like just popped it in my mouth. It was a mustard green. And I was like, ah, right? It was really bitter. So are you planting bitter fruit in that person? Are you seeding dissent and hate against you? Or are you building somebody up this week? So think about that, especially to our kids, right? Parents, speak blessings into your kids' lives. Speak positivity into your kids' lives. Speak well about them, right? Be patient with them. Love them. Guess what? Everything you say, you're planting those seeds, right? And if there's just that one root of bitterness that's inside of them, pluck that dude out, right? Pluck it out. Because what you'll notice is they're going to mirror your language. And when you start hearing bad things coming out of their mouths, guess where they learned it from? From you, from me, right? I'm stepping on my own toes, yeah? Think about what kind of seed you're planting. And then I want you to ask these questions. How do you talk about yourself? Are you speaking life into yourself? Are you speaking death into yourself? How do you talk to others? And how do you talk about others? So how do you talk to yourself? How do you talk to others? And how do you talk about others? and ask the Holy Spirit to fill your heart with what is worth sharing. Because whatever fills the heart is what's going to come out of the mouth. So today, what I want to do is I want to speak a blessing over you. I want to speak positivity into you. And this is something that you can do with your family at home too. And it doesn't matter if you're the parent or if you're the child. Children, you can speak blessings into your parents' lives too. That's okay. I can still remember when I was like 13 or 14. I remember my brother was moving to Colorado and he was just about to leave. Like, he had the car packed. He was ready to go. And I looked at my parents and I said, hey, can we say a prayer over my brother as he leaves? And so we all gathered up in the living room and my brother was kind of in the middle and we all just awkwardly stood there for a minute. And my parents looked at me like, well, go ahead. You know, and I'm like, oh, you want me to do? They're like, it was your idea. And so I still remember like being 13 or 14, my brother's 14 years older than me. So he was like almost 30, praying a blessing over my brother as he was leaving to go to Colorado. And so kids, I want you to listen. You are not too young to bless others. You are not too young to speak positive words to those around you. God did not give you a junior Holy Spirit. He gave you the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of each and every one of us. And so this week, kids, speak blessings, speak positivity into others that are around you. Do it. It's worth it. I promise it'll make you feel good. But today I want to say a blessing over you. And this comes from Numbers 6, 24 through 27. So if you would just close your eyes as I say this to you guys. Lord, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. Father God, I pray today over each and every person in this room, God, for the families, for the individuals that are in this room, God, I pray blessings over them this week. And God, as they receive blessings from you, as they receive peace and joy and happiness from you, God, I pray that as that fills them up, as that joy fills them up, as that peace fills them up, as your Holy Spirit fills them up, God, I pray that they would in turn bless others this week. God, that you would allow each of us to just go out and to speak positive words, to speak kind words, to not negative talk about anyone, but God, to allow the Holy Spirit to fill them so that that fruit that they're producing can be something that's good for not only others that are around them, but for ourselves too, God. Too many times, God, we have beaten ourselves down with negative self-talk. God, I pray that today, that those who are doing that, that those who are having those situations where they're negative talk all the time about themselves, God, I pray that you would just break that curse on them. Break that curse in your name and allow them, God, to see themselves as you see us with love. Everyone that we meet this week, God, help us to do our best to bless others and to speak kind words. We love you, God, and we thank you for everything you're going to do in and through our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.